on a night where The Undertaker is going into the Hall of Fame, a man who made his career by telling people to rest in peace, and he was going to repossess their soul. I can feel my own soul being sucked out of my body tonight as I watch this SmackDown show. Friday night, everybody's in Dallas. I feel like everybody's down there in Texas. Everybody except me. I'm here with you. And the reason I'm here with you is I'm here to talk about the WrestleMania edition of SmackDown, the final stop on the road to WrestleMania, the very bumpy road to WrestleMania, a night of endless video packages and dead mother jokes. That was SmackDown tonight. About an hour into the show, probably less than that, a little bit less than that, but about an hour into the show, I realized that I had made a terrible mistake. Because while all of this was going on, Ring of Honor began a new chapter in its history. We weren't even sure that Ring of Honor was ever going to run another show. And then out of nowhere comes Tony Khan to the rescue, and he buys Ring of Honor and takes it away from Sinclair Broadcast Group, and he's trying to breathe new life back into really what was a dead promotion. They had some great talents there. A lot of them were scheduled for the Supercard of Honor tonight, in fact, but Ring of Honor, for all intents and purposes for a while now, has been a dead promotion. Tony Khan rides into the rescue to try to breathe new life into it. Tony Khan competed against himself tonight. He wanted to honor the tickets that were already sold for a show that was scheduled before he bought the company. And so he ran Supercard of Honor on the same night at the same time that AEW Rampage was airing tonight on TNT. He competed against himself. And Ring of Honor did have its Supercard of Honor tonight, built around the first time ever match between FTR and the Briscoes for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, which I have heard rave reviews about. Of course, I have not watched the match, so I have no idea how good or bad it was. One thing I do know, and if you are waiting to watch the Ring of Honor show tomorrow and don't want to be spoiled, well, too bad, because it's news now. The show's over. It's breaking news. Samoa Joe back in Ring of Honor. Samoa Joe's first appearance at a Ring of Honor show since he left the company all those many years ago. Many, many, many years ago before he went to TNA. And the bigger news is that Joe is going to be on AEW Dynamite this Wednesday. So Samoa Joe is in. I've said for a while, Joe, it was inevitable that Joe was going to end up working for AEW. He was going to end up working for Tony Khan. So we'll see what the role is going to be for Samoa Joe. It's smart. If they're bringing Joe in to have an affiliation with Ring of Honor, it's smart. They need a Samoa Joe or a Claudio Cesaro, call him whatever you want. They need at least one, you know, former Ring of Honor name, one big name with television exposure from WWE in recent years. If they want to run Ring of Honor, if Tony Khan wants to run Ring of Honor as its own standalone entity and sell tickets and run shows, they need somebody like Samoa Joe. But is Joe going to be an ROH regular, or is he going to be an AEW regular? We don't know. But he is going to be on Dynamite coming up this Wednesday. So there's that little bit of breaking news for you. But enough of that. This is your SmackDown Rampage review for April Fool's Day. And the only fool is this guy right here. I am the Solemn Monster. Streaming live for the third straight night. At least two more to go. We're only just getting started. We haven't even hit night one of WrestleMania yet. We have an NXT show tomorrow afternoon. Sympathy super chats, by the way, are open if you do feel sorry for my dumbass having made the wrong decision tonight with what show to review. Smash that like button as well. That might help turn this frown upside down. And when you are done here, you can go ahead and check out the latest edition of Sound Off Gamer with the start of the Solemn Monsters his journey through the WWE Performance Center in My Rise mode. That'll put a smile on your face. Already running into some heat in the PC. It's only my first day there. Look at this. I've never looked better. Look at that Solomonster Championship belt. Should probably try to upload that into the game. I'm still trying to learn the ropes here, and I'm not really sure. I've attempted to import. Now, I've downloaded some custom arenas that people have uploaded, but I don't think you can use them in just regular singles mode. They're not accessible to me. But anyway, you can follow along my journey in My Rise. That is currently up in Sound Off Gamer. And yes, I do realize that the volume on the dialogue in My Rise mode was a little low, so I'm going to bump that up in the next edition. So fear not. But again, if you missed it, that did go up earlier today. So we open. Now, why? You might be asking yourself, why? Why would you cover SmackDown? Well, I thought, you know, look, I'm covering WrestleMania this weekend, and they're having a WrestleMania edition of SmackDown with a Battle Royal and a championship match. You know, that title that they can't bother to book on either night of WrestleMania. The title that has not been defended on pay-per-view since last year's WrestleMania. Yeah, that title. So I figured I would cover SmackDown and may as well cover Rampage because the Hall of Fame's not going to be over until at least midnight. And I'm just hoping that I have a chance to catch up on the Ring of Honor show in the morning and the Hall of Fame. And of course, I won't because there's not nearly enough time before NXT. But I will do what I can. And whatever I'm able to watch, I will give you my thoughts on the podcast on Sunday. That's what episode 750 is for. But we opened with the annual Andre the Giant Memorial Budget Cuts Battle Royal. Here at the beginning of SmackDown tonight with Finn Balor, Damian Priest, the NXT champion, Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Roode, Madcap Moss, Tommaso Ciampa was in there, T-Bar was in there, Drew Gulak, Apollo Crews, Commander Gesundheit, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, Jinder Mahal, Shanky, Mansoor, the Viking Jobbers, R-Truth, Akira Tozawa, and Reggie. This is what I covered this fucking show for. Look at that lineup for this Battle Royal. I chose Reggie and Akira Tozawa and Shanky over the FTR versus Briscoes match. I chose Mansoor over Samoa Joe. Hey, there you go. Yeah, perfect. Me and the Big Show are in agreement. Yeah, perfect timing on that super. Even the Big Show is ashamed of me. Anyway, past winners of this oh-so-prestigious Battle Royal have included Cesaro, Big Show, who you just saw there, Baron Corbin, Mojo Rawley, Matt Hardy, Braun Strowman, and Jey Uso was the winner of the Battle Royal last year. Most of the men were already in the ring when they came on the... It was like Rampage. Rampage, they go right to the action. They're already in the ring. They already had most of the people in the Battle Royal standing in the ring. Including Damian Priest, got no entrance. The ones who did get entrances were Dolph Ziggler only, and I guarantee you, it was only because he's got the NXT Championship. They didn't want to completely shit on the NXT Championship. Because now they're running the show now, right? Bruce Pritchard is overseeing things with NXT. If it was Triple H, they would shit all over it, just like they did with Karrion Kross. They don't give a shit. But since Dolph Ziggler has the NXT title and he's defending it tomorrow against Rick Steiner's boy, they wanted to at least give him his own entrance before he loses his championship tomorrow. So he and Roode got an entrance and Finn Balor got an entrance. Tozawa and Reggie were the first ones eliminated from the Battle Royal, and then R-Truth followed right after that. So all the 24/7 geeks were dumped in short order. They were out of the match. There was a team effort to eliminate Shanky and Aziz at the same time. They went out, up and over to the floor. Thank you, Random, says he enjoyed the My Rise episode of the Gamer video today. Well, there's more on the way. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Finn Balor eliminated Damian Priest. Just like that, Damian Priest gone. Dolph Ziggler and Tommaso Ciampa, they wound up on the apron. Ciampa ate a super kick and he fell to the floor. So it came down to Finn Balor, Madcap Moss, Bobby Roode, and the NXT champion Dolph Ziggler. They were the final four in this Battle Royal. They did a spot where Moss snuck up behind all three men when they were by the ropes. I think the two heels were, the Dirty Dogs, I think, were trying to eliminate Balor. Madcap sneaks up behind them. He dumps all three of them out. Ziggler hits the floor. Rude hits the floor. Balor, though, he lands on the apron. He hung on, climbed back inside. Balor hit a sling blade. But then Madcap Moss grabbed, Balor, and with his momentum coming at him, he threw him out to the floor. Just like that, eliminated the United States champion. And Madcap Moss is your 2022 Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner. A man named Madcap has won the trophy that was built in honor of the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant. It is now owned by a man called Madcap who wears suspenders to the ring. After the match, Moss said that he always looked up to Andre. Well, we all looked up to Andre. The guy was fucking 7 feet tall. He always looked up to Andre. He was his hero. He said he was loved by everybody just like him. And then he told a terrible joke. He goes, "What do you call a battle royal named after the smartest Texans around? A cattle royal." Did I remind you that I chose this show over Supercard of Honor? I did mention that, didn't I? I just wanted to check and make sure. As far as the battle royal, it was every mid-card battle royal you've ever seen. That's what it was. It was a battle royal of mid-carders. The NXT champion was in there, mid-carder. The United States champion was in there, mid-carder. It was a mid-carder battle royal with virtually no star power. Not a lot to get excited about here. They should have given Damian Priest the win. That's how I would have booked this. You give Damian Priest the win, you have him eliminate Finn Balor, and then challenge Balor by virtue of that win. He's got the trophy, but now he wants Balor to give him a rematch for the United States Championship on one of the two nights of WrestleMania. So you at least get one of your mid-card singles titles on the card. That didn't happen. Now, Damian Priest was talking about how, I don't know if it was on social media or he did some kind of interview. I don't even know where it was. But he was talking about, I'm going to make it onto the card one way or the other. Who knows? Maybe they'll add something at the last minute, which would be appropriate. That's pretty much how they treat that championship anyway. Just kind of throw it on there at the last minute, like some kind of throwaway backstage segment. But as of right now, neither the U.S. or Intercontinental titles were being defended at WrestleMania this year. Speaking of the Intercontinental Championship, we have Finn Balor. No, we don't. We have Ricochet. I'm getting my champions confused. They pretty much are one and the same at this point. We had Ricochet, Angel Garza, and Humberto Carrillo in a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title. The champion entered tonight, a three-time loser. He lost to both members of Los Lotharios a week ago to set this match up in the first place. He lost to them back-to-back. And then on Monday, he lost, completely unnecessarily, mind you, to Austin Theory. There was no need for Ricochet to even be on Raw. He's not even a member of the Raw roster. It's not enough that they have him jobbing on SmackDown, his native show. It'd be like living in your home country. Let's say I live in Morocco. I've heard good things about, I've never been to Morocco before. I'm sure it's beautiful. I walk out of my front door in Morocco. I'm walking down the street and I get hit by a bus. Somehow I survive. I broke both my legs, but I survive. Then I heal myself, I recover, I'm convalescing at home, I decide I want to go on vacation, I hop on a plane, I fly to New York, I get to the airport, they take me to the city, as soon as I step out of a cab, I get hit by another cab in New York City. I traveled from my own home country where I get treated like shit, and I get hit by a bus, only to go to another country so I can get hit by another car. That's the state of Ricochet. It doesn't matter whether it's blue on SmackDown or red on Raw. It's all the same. So he was not having a very good week heading into tonight. Ricochet went for a springboard clothesline early, but Angel stopped him mid-move, and Ricochet was standing on the ropes, and Humberto ran up the corner and caught him with a giant arm drag through the air. As you would expect, things broke down between the two partners when each man tried to win the match and the other would interrupt the count, so there was a little bit of friction there between Angel and Humberto. That gave Ricochet the opening he needed to make a comeback, and with Angel down, Ricochet headed up top, but Humberto cut him off. And he tried for a suplex. Ricochet blocked it and suplexed Humberto face first down onto his partner. And Ricochet then hit the 630 splash on Angel, and in one fluid motion, nobody will deny the man's talent. In one fluid motion, after hitting this picture-perfect 630 off the top, Ricochet pops right back up and jumps into the recoil to Humberto, and he pins him to retain the championship. The impressive 630 into the recoil by Ricochet. Humberto with the million-dollar sell job. I mean, you can put Ricochet over for this, but you got to put Humberto over too. He sold that perfectly. So this was a predictably very good match with these three, but it still doesn't excuse the booking of that title. One good match on television does not excuse the way they have treated the Intercontinental Championship. And with Ricochet holding that title, the WrestleMania card, you know, really, if you think about it, was just begging for a ladder match this year. Imagine Ricochet getting his own WrestleMania moment. Hey, we're going to put you in a ladder match at WrestleMania. Some of the insane shit that he would be doing in that match. The only thing I could think of is that they didn't want to have two multi-man ladder matches for a mid-card title in the same weekend, because tomorrow at the NXT show, we have Carmelo Hayes defending the North American title in a, I believe, five-man ladder match. Otherwise, maybe they would have considered having a ladder match at WrestleMania. Seems like that would have made sense to me, but what do I know? What do I know, right? Well, you know what? Caroline in the chat says Ricochet should have waited a little bit longer and went to AEW. You know what? I honestly don't think that Ricochet would be in a much, to be honest with you. I mean, I really don't think he would be in all that much of a better position in AEW right now. He's somebody who probably would be making one appearance every 4 or 5 weeks on television. You know? I don't know that he would be really making much more of an impact than he is on SmackDown. At least on SmackDown, he's the de facto number two babyface on that show. I know that doesn't mean much right now. But he would not be the number two babyface if he went over to AEW. Not everybody who goes over to AEW, even if their booking is not complete shit, is necessarily going to be faring better than they would if they stayed in WWE. So let's not just assume that anybody who goes to AEW, oh, they're going to be so much better off. He might be able to book himself on some independent appearances and make some more money. But aside from that, I don't really think Ricochet's situation would have been all that different had he jumped over to AEW. But he made the choice to sign with WWE. And so, you know, look, whether he's treated well or he's treated poorly, he was happy enough to stick around. That was his choice. After a break, they came back with a video package hyping the KO show with Stone Cold Steve Austin, which, of course, is taking place tomorrow night on night one of WrestleMania. And Michael Cole, in doing the voiceover leading into the package, said something very interesting. Michael Cole specifically referred to the KO show as the main event of night one, tomorrow night at WrestleMania. I know Kevin Owens also referred to his segment as the main event last Monday during his promo, but that's the first time I've heard one of the announcers, or at least Michael Cole, make a mention of this being the main event. Which tells me that the rumors are true, and in fact, at this very moment, pending whatever changes could come tomorrow, but at this very moment, in fact, Stone Cold and Kevin Owens are in the main event spot tomorrow, closing out night one of WrestleMania. And it's the right call to make, as it should be. You send Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey out there to try to follow Stone Cold Steve Austin? I don't think that's such a very good idea. But Michael Cole also made another comment here that did not go unnoticed. You thought you were going to get away with this, didn't you, Cole? Now, Michael Cole made another comment, and I know Cole is only parroting what they're telling him to say. But Michael Cole said that, because we're all fucking idiots, apparently, He said, this is going to be the first time that we see Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania since his last match. 19 years ago, Stone Cold is back at WrestleMania for the first time since he had his final match 19 years ago against The Rock. I swear to God, that's what he said. He didn't mention The Rock, but that's basically what he said. So all you people who remember Piper's Pit in 2005, if you remember the Battle of the Billionaires in 2007 when he was the referee, if you remember the segment at WrestleMania 30, one of the most memorable openings in WrestleMania history with Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. If you remember the last WrestleMania in Dallas when he came out with Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley and they beat up the League of Losers, it never happened. It was all just a figment of your imagination. This is going to be the first time that we have seen Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania since his retirement match. You learn something new every day. Maybe they're referring to this is a different Stone Cold. Because again, they have to be wishy-washy about this. They don't want us to think that we're going to get anything resembling a match, even though we might. We are very likely going to get something that closely resembles an actual match, a brawl, call it whatever you want, but they can't say that. They're being very coy about it. It would be accurate to say that this will be the first time that we see Austin in an actual fight of some kind in 19 years. But to hear Michael Cole say something like that, they really truly think their audience is full of a bunch of fucking morons. I say it all the time. And then they just keep giving examples to reinforce it. I mean, I understand, you know, taking liberty with certain things and, you know, to kind of suit your own narrative, but Jesus Christ. You know, I'm hearing that right now both nights of WrestleMania are on track for about 60,000 fans each night. They're set up for 65,000. They've scaled down the building from what it was the last time they were in that stadium. But let's say they even get to 65. How much do you want to bet they're going to claim at least 85 each night? Maybe 90, maybe 100. Maybe they'll try to break their own fake record from 2016 when they claimed 101. And they were pretty damn close to 101. It's very impressive. You know, 85,000 or 90,000 is every bit as impressive to me as 100,000. Watch them claim twice the actual number in the building tomorrow night because they can just, they can do whatever they want. They can just make shit up all the time. Look, you hear the fake crowd noise that they pipe in every single week now to manufacture the reactions they want in certain segments. They can manufacture crowd noise. They can claim whatever crowd attendance they want. So why not just start taking liberties and making up historical facts? They can pretty much do anything they want. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. They introduced each of the four teams in the women's tag team title match coming up on Sunday, WrestleMania Night 2. They were all in the ring together, and the ring announcer, Samantha Irvin, said, these are the four teams that are going to be in the women's tag team title Fatal 4-Way on Sunday at WrestleMania. And after that, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Shayna Baszler, and Natty all left the ring, and it was just Sasha Banks and Naomi against Carmella and Zelina Vega, the women's tag team champions. Of course, this was non-title. You know, we have seen so many different combinations of these women. We have seen so many different combinations of these four teams over the last several weeks on television that I feel like I've already seen the WrestleMania match. What is even the purpose of having the match on Sunday? I feel like I've seen it every week for the last 6 weeks. So many different iterations of these women in the ring together. We're supposed to be excited to see them back in the ring again on Sunday. Champions isolated Sasha in their corner. Sasha landed a kick on Carmella. She was crawling for the tag, but Zelina knocked Naomi off the apron. Naomi, though, quickly got back up on the apron. Sasha did make the tag, and Naomi took out both champions with a double drop kick, and she won the match with a split-legged moonsault on Zelina. I feel like Zelina is always the one taking the losing fall here. I think she is, actually. When was the last time Carmella got pinned in a match? It's always Zelina. But anyway, Naomi pins Zelina. Match went about 3.5 minutes. And so, the champions lose yet again. The women's tag team champions lose yet another match. I don't know what the purpose of this was, other than to just drill home the point for everybody that Sasha Banks is going 0 for 7 this year at WrestleMania. She's got a sterling record right now of 0 for 6 coming into WrestleMania weekend. She'll be 0 and 7 at the end of the night on Sunday. My prediction of the champions retaining is looking better every day. Did my live predictions on the channel last night. If you missed it, you want to know what my predictions are, you can go back and watch it after this. But yes, my prediction, I think, is looking better and better every passing hour. Although I did not realize this, they mentioned this on commentary tonight, and I might have had a different prediction had I known this, but Carmella and Corey Graves are apparently getting married next week, and then going after, right after that, they're going away on their honeymoon. And so you would think if she was going to leave and be gone on her honeymoon and maybe be gone for a few weeks that they might want to take the titles off of Carmella and Zelina. But I'm going to stick with my prediction. I'm going to stick with my gut on this, and I think that they're going to retain their titles. We got footage of Ronda Rousey's training camp earlier today, which was her basically rolling in the ring with her friend, Shayna Baszler, who they never identified. Kayla Braxton was there, and she pulled Ronda aside for a second. She came over to the ropes to be interviewed by Kayla Braxton. Kayla asked her why she seemed cheerful, since she expected her to be angry. Oh, did I not make that point last week? Remember the whole segment was promoted last week? Ronda Rousey on the Rampage, right? Wasn't that what they called that segment last week? Ronda Rousey on the Rampage. And then here comes Ronda Rousey down to the ring smiling, because Vince McMahon told her, smile. When you go out there, you gotta smile. And here's Kayla Braxton asking the same question. Boy, I expected you to be angry, but you seem to be happy. I ask that same fucking question every week. Maybe I should take Kayla Braxton's job. I mean, I don't look as good as she does, but fuck, I could do the same thing. I'll ask the same questions. I don't think I'll get a good answer. So Rhonda says that she could contain her anger and expertly apply it, and she told Charlotte that tomorrow night she's either going to tap out or she's going to rip off her arm and give it to her family as a souvenir. And then she went back to her sparring session with Shayna Baszler. And that was it. That was the entire segment. Charlotte Flair made her way out on stage with a microphone in her hand. And she said that if Ronda tries to rip her arm off at WrestleMania, she will destroy her. She said that Ronda claims to have her anger under control, but we all know better. She called herself cool and said every woman wants to be her and all the men want her. So now she's jacking Sable's catchphrase. Remember Sable? All the women want to be me and all the men who come to see me. That was Sable's big catchphrase. Final hype. That was it, by the way. That was the whole segment, basically. The final hype for this did nothing. Did nothing new to get me any more excited than I was before, and I wasn't excited to begin with for this match. This did nothing to make me any more excited to see these two in the ring tomorrow night. They may end up having a very good match, but boy, you talk about it, really what it is. It's a feud where you have two people who, you know, Charlotte is unlikable because she's a heel. She's supposed to be unlikable. Rhonda, who's supposed to be the babyface, is also unlikable. So I don't like anybody in this match. So I don't care who wins. They could beat the hell out of each other for all I care. Crowd reaction is going to be very interesting. The crowds have largely been respectful of Rhonda now the last several weeks. So WrestleMania, 50-50. You never know with these WrestleMania crowds and people coming in from other countries and stuff. And also, I think the positioning on the show. You know, in my predictions yesterday, I said that I think Seth and his mystery opponent, I think that opens the show, but they could very well open with Charlotte and Rhonda. And I actually think if they want that match to get the best possible reaction, the best thing they could do is have the two of them open the show. Even though it goes against everything I believe in, with the Royal Rumble winner, going to the main event of WrestleMania and then having them open the show. It's such a cop-out. But in this case, I'm not so sure that isn't the best thing for them to do. If they're not going on last, you know, you may as well. It's like the whole, if I'm not last, I'm first, right? You put them on first. So that might be something for them to consider. We had a, on a night of revolving video packages, we had a video package for Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, their big winner-take-all championship unification match. They set this to Metallica's All Nightmare Long. There was no Roman or Brock on the show because they ran out of ideas on what to do with them. We had the final go-home promos from them on Raw Monday night. And, you know, with this whole thing where they're not touching each other and they want to keep them apart, there was literally nothing left for them to do. They ran out of time. They ran out of ideas. So the best thing to do then, if you have no good ideas, is to just leave well enough alone. And so they weren't on the show. And boy, was it noticeable, them not being on the show. Rick Boogs introduced Shinsuke Nakamura. Pat McAfee does this thing every time Nakamura and Boogs come out where he jumps up on the announce table and he's dancing like a fool. So McAfee is up on the table and out of the crowd comes Austin Theory. And he grabs McAfee by the leg and he trips him. Sweeps his leg out from under him, and McAfee takes a hard bump on top of the announce desk. He no-sold it. He immediately looked over to see who it was. Didn't sell pain or anything. And Theory ran away, and McAfee ran after. Michael Cole said, "No, Pat, no." And McAfee ran after him to the back. So yet again, McAfee runs into Vince McMahon's door. Because Austin Theory ran into Vince McMahon's office and slammed the door shut behind him. And he went to go walk away, but this time McAfee stopped, he turned around, and he kicked the door open. And a second later, here comes Vince McMahon with Austin Theory hiding behind him. He's hiding behind the 76-year-old man. Vince McMahon comes out, all pissed off, to confront Pat McAfee in the hallway. And he's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? He said, you know, he threatened to fire him. He threatened to take his WrestleMania match away from him. Is that what you want? McAfee calmed down and said, no, that's not what I want. And he walked away. So I said in my predictions that I think Vince McMahon will have some kind of involvement in this match. He might be ringside for the match, observing. I think it ends with him taking a bump of some kind, whether it's from McAfee or somebody else. But I think Vince McMahon, he might not be wrestling Pat McAfee, but I do think he's going to have some kind of physical involvement in this match tomorrow, or Sunday, I think, right? Sunday is the match? I believe their match is on the second night of WrestleMania. So we had Rick Boogs one-on-one against Jimmy Uso. This did not go very long. Austin Theory comes walking back out. He walks down the aisle and he circles around the ring and he grabs a drink out of a fan's hand, a fan, who happened to have a drink there waiting for him in the front row. He grabs this person's drink and he walks over to Pat McAfee by the announce desk and he splashes the drink at him. There wasn't a lot of drink left. It was all ice cubes and he splashed it on Pat McAfee. And again, Michael Cole is trying to just hold him back and keep him from going after Theory again. And McAfee stayed put. As Theory was running away to leave, he's backing up the ramp. Here comes Finn Balor, the loser from earlier in the show who failed to win the Battle Royal and got eliminated by a man named Madcap. Here comes the United States champion. He grabs Austin Theory and he throws him into the ring. And Balor follows him inside and he's beating him down and Boogs is in there, and you know him and Nakamura, and they're fighting with the Usos, and it's just chaos in the ring. And then they cut to commercial break. Of course, when they came back, the match had already turned into a six-man tag, already joined in progress. And we were told that Adam Pearce, during the break, made the decision to turn this into a six-man tag. Balor sent Theory to the floor. He did a big dive out onto Theory and the Usos. He threw Theory back inside, hit the sling blade and the shotgun dropkick in the corner. And so Austin Theory was dead to rights on the floor. And Balor is about to go up with a big double stomp. Both Usos, though, take turns trying to stop him from climbing up top. When he finally does make it up top, though, after he kicks them away, Theory comes over. He crotches him on the top rope. And Austin Theory hits the ATL, and he covers Finn Balor for the 1-2-3. Austin Theory picks up the win. The United States champion loses twice on the same show. Finn Balor was a loser in the Battle Royal. He came back out. He was in a six-man tag, and he did the job there as well. Bravo. Bravo. A two-time loser on this show is your United States champion. The best thing I can say about that, at least, they're putting over someone like Austin Theory. Austin Theory is a young rising star in this company. Clearly, they see a lot in him. I mean, he's working with Vince McMahon. He's in a celebrity match at WrestleMania, right? He's doing big things right now. I know he was treated largely like a joke, but he had the spot with Brock Lesnar in the Elimination Chamber, where Brock, he was the last man in there against Brock, and Brock killed him. He gave him the F5 off the top of the pod. My point is, they're trusting him to work with these people. They're trusting him in these situations. And he's not bad. He doesn't go in there and have bad matches or embarrass himself or look out of place or look like, oh man, he needs more seasoning in NXT. He's good. So if Finn Balor and people like that are going to lose to someone, at least they're putting over a guy who they clearly have big plans for. I hate that it comes at the expense of Balor. I hate that it comes at the expense of a champion. If this is how you're going to book your champion, then just have him drop the belt. That's all. Problem solved. So now the question is, I mean, look, he's beaten Ricochet on TV. He's beaten Finn Balor on TV, I think more than once. Is he going to challenge after WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title? Is he going to challenge for the United States Championship? Probably not. And that's my issue with this. After the match, Pat McAfee jumped on the apron. Theory was egging him on, telling him to take a shot. Michael Cole left the booth to go over and try to calm down Theory and pull him down off the apron. Eventually, he backed off, and so that was that. Your main event on this WrestleMania edition of SmackDown was Happy Talk with Baron Corbin interviewing Drew McIntyre's sword. I have only myself to blame for this. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not WWE's fault. You kind of know what you're getting when it comes to these shows. I'm the moron who chose this. I'm man enough to admit when I make a mistake, and that's what this was. As I sat here pondering my life, watching Baron Corbin interview a fucking sword in the middle of the ring, in the main event of the final SmackDown before WrestleMania. Corbin was very proud of himself for stealing Drew's sword last week. He bragged about winning, you know, his past WrestleMania accomplishments. He's a former winner of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. He's the man who retired Kurt Angle, which is a fucking crime. He said that when Drew carries the sword around, it's just a lame accessory, but he could decapitate somebody with it. I was begging him to come put me out of my misery. Corbin explained, and here came the this was the big climactic moment of this segment here. This is how they closed out the final show before WrestleMania. He's in the ring, he has the sword. And he mentions that the sword is named Angela. And the sword got its name. It's named after Drew McIntyre's late mother, who passed away a number of years ago, I believe from cancer. She passed away a number of years ago. And he goes, that's depressing. So I'm going to give this sword a different name. And he comes up with the name Euphoria. It's now Euphoria the Sword. And then he told Madcap Moss to tell a joke, but then he stopped him. He goes, no, I have a joke. So Baron Corbin had a joke for us tonight. And the joke was, what does Drew McIntyre's sword and his mother have in common? He lost them both. So, resorting to dead mother jokes to try to put heat on this shitty feud heading into WrestleMania. Very nice. McIntyre walked out. He leveled Moss with a right hand. He grabbed a chair. He brought it into the ring. He threw the chair at Corbin, and then he grabbed the sword. He swung the sword. Corbin bailed, and McIntyre broke the table that was in the ring with the sword. I don't want to see Drew McIntyre. If the point of this was to get me to want to see Drew McIntyre kill this man for making that kind of a joke and to go in there at WrestleMania and kill Baron Corbin, I don't want to see Drew McIntyre kill Baron Corbin because he told some joke about his mother on TV that the writers thought would get great heat. I want to see him kill Baron Corbin because I want this fucking feud to be over. You realize how many months this has been dragging on for? Months. Months. I want this feud to be dead. Over. Finished. Kaput. Who do I have to call? Tony D'Angelo? He knows some people. Maybe we could get Tony D'Angelo and his cousin to take care of this situation for us. Not exactly a stupendous episode of SmackDown tonight. There's a couple of things I would say that I am genuinely excited for and looking forward to at WrestleMania this weekend. I mentioned what they are last night, but this show did nothing to get me any more excited for either one of those two nights. And that is all I have to say about SmackDown. Now, on that note, I could not flip over fast enough to TNT for AEW Rampage. Let me switch this up here. I was so just nonplussed with SmackDown. I forgot to update my art here for Rampage. There we go. We got to get the people who are actually on the show tonight. Now we have your main event on your screen. That was the main event right there for Rampage tonight. Keith Lee on one side, Powerhouse Hobbs on the other. But that's not how we open the show. Flip over to TNT, and what do I see? I see the Young Bucks, and I see Top Flight already in the ring, ready for their match. The Bucks gave these two a lot here. They gave them a lot in this match, as much as you could possibly give them before beating them. Top Flight frustrated the Bucks early in the match with their aerial assault. Nick took Dante Martin out with a super kick on the floor, and when Darius gave chase, Matt was waiting. He was waiting in the wings, and he caught him with a super kick on the floor. That allowed the Bucks to take control. Darius took a powerbomb into the buckle Enziguri combo from the Bucks in their corner. Show cut to the first picture-in-picture of the night. Back from the break, Dante dove off his brother's back into a headlock takeover on Matt. And Matt Jackson tossed Dante to the floor. Nick tagged in, only to get caught by a flatliner from Darius. Dante went up top. Matt shoved him into the ringside barricade. Matt then ran into a Spanish fly from Darius. And Darius and Nick exchanged strikes. Darius went for a backslide. Nick rolled through and grabbed Darius's wrist. Then Matt ran in. And the Bucks delivered the BTE trigger for the win. A lot of action here. A lot of action, as you would expect from these two teams. A lot of flying stuff, a lot of diving and such. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of numb to it all at this point. Does that make me a bad person? If I'm just numb to it already? Young Bucks, there was a promo from them later on in the show in the back. They accepted FTR's challenge. If you remember on Dynamite Wednesday night, FTR said that they were laying down the gauntlet to the Bucks for FTR versus the Bucks Part 2. We never did get a Part 2 after the Bucks beat them the last time. And so the Bucks were here to accept their challenge, and it all goes down this Wednesday on Dynamite. They're doing the match on Dynamite this coming Wednesday. It's going to be the Bucks against FTR Part 2, and that is going to be for the AAA Tag Team Championship. We got a Chris Statlander video package that ended with her telling us, "Welcome to the other side of Chris Statlander." And, you know, to that I say that it's a welcome repackaging for the alien lady. Back from the break, Dan Lambert was in the ring. with Paige VanZant and the Men of the Year. Dan Lambert was talking about how he was kind of upset that he had all these jokes about Brandi, because he would come out and call Brandi Rhodes a whore and say all these horrible things about her. And he said he has all this material that he can't use now because she's not around anymore. But he talked about Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti and said they have the whole high school prom king and queen gimmick going on. Ethan Page took the microphone and said Sammy and Ty took naked photos with the TNT Championship. He wondered if Fuego took the photo. He probably did. I was wondering that myself. Did they have Fuego del Sol kind of crouching down in the corner, shooting them while they were lying naked in their hotel room? Because that's what it looked like to me. Fucking creep. Paige VanZant grabbed the mic. She made a crack about Orange Cassidy. Lambert took the mic back and said this interview is over. But it's not, because Sammy Guevara popped up on the big screen. He and Ty were out in the parking lot area. They had sledgehammers, and they took sledgehammers to Dan Lambert's car. They busted out the windows. It's the same angle we've seen dozens of times before. So there you go. Tony Schiavone was in the back. We were told to interview Hook. And I said, excuse me? What is that you say? We're going to hear Hook for the first time? I've never heard Hook's voice before. I don't even know what the kid sounds like. He could have a Mike Tyson voice, for all I know, where the voice doesn't really match the face. Hook should not be speaking for, he should be like, you know, Kane was when he first debuted in WWE. I'm not saying give Hook a voice box, but he shouldn't say anything for a while. But there's Tony Schiavone in the back with Hook. Hook is in his hoodie, and he asked him a question, and before he could say anything, Danhausen shows up, and he interrupts the segment. And Danhausen says he's here to make the human monies and do the curses, and he tried to put a Danhausen curse on Hook. And he was very frustrated. He couldn't believe it when it didn't work. And Hook simply walked away. And he was completely confounded by this. And he said to Schiavone, I don't know what happened. It always works. How come it didn't work? This was very dumb. This was very dumb. And to be honest with you, I don't think we should be seeing Hook in comedy segments like this with comedy goof characters. You know, Danhausen and, you know, some of the other, you know, Orange Cassidy or the Librarian or whatever kind of comedy gimmicks they've had in this company. There's a place for that. I wouldn't have Hook associated with that shit. So I would keep him away from that. Unless, of course, Hook is going to just kill Danhausen one day. That's okay. But outside of that, you know, oh, I'm going to put a curse on you and all this. We don't need to have those two doing stuff together on TV. We had the House of Black with, still in my opinion, the best entrance in all of wrestling. I love the House of Black entrance and the music and everything. Great presentation. Taking on Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and Fuego del Sol. The Peeping Tom himself. Derek says he could easily see Austin Theory winning the U.S. title at some point after WrestleMania. Well, if you remember, before the angle was hatched for Theory to go after Pat McAfee, my idea from, I think the first time I mentioned it was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago maybe, was to do Austin Theory against Damian Priest when Priest was still the babyface U.S. champion on Raw. You have Priest defend the title against Theory at WrestleMania and have Theory go over and win the belt at WrestleMania. But obviously they went in another direction. Did they go in a better direction? I'm not so sure about that. Because Damian Priest ended up going heel because they completely fucked him up. So he went, he lost his title, he turned heel because the fans had soured on him because they screwed up his gimmick. And then tonight, he's just one of a bunch of nameless bodies who don't even get an intro standing in the ring in a meaningless battle royal. If I'm Damian Priest, I would have much rather have preferred to be the babyface champion going into WrestleMania. Meanwhile, he's not even on the WrestleMania card. Austin Theory is, he's not. Anyway, back to this match here. The heels dominated Fuego through an ad break. Grayson tagged in. Evil Uno hit a sit-down powerbomb when he came in. on Malakai Black, but Brody King broke up the pin by tossing Grayson into Uno. Brody then hit a cannonball senton on Uno and Grayson on the floor. That left Fuego all by himself with Malakai Black. He hit a poison Rana. He went for a quebrada off the ropes, and he flew right into the Black Mass. Malakai wrecked this kid. Kick right to the face. Malakai Black with the easy pinfall for the win. I really wish that we got more Malakai on these shows. He's another one. I've mentioned Jay Lethal before and all that. And it's not that I need to see Jay Lethal in every segment every week. I just thought, you know, Jay Lethal was kind of a, you know, kind of a big pickup for them. And I just felt like it was very awkward the way that we weren't really seeing him on TV. And now they're doing something. They have an idea now for him. Malakai Black is somebody who I'd love to see him way more than Jay Lethal. A lot of other guys on that roster. He should be on television every single week and not just on Rampage. We're not getting enough of him. One of my fears when Brody King came in is, as nice as it is to see him and leading his own faction, and I like Buddy Matthews being a part of it, you know, my fear was it's going to take Malakai away from the singles division. It's going to take him in another direction that I'd rather not see him in if it's going to, you know, kind of water him down, or he's just going to be doing tag matches now. And that's really what's happened so far. I know they're trying to establish the group still, but we're not seeing him enough on TV. I wish we were seeing more of him. And yeah, the best thing I can say is that when we do see him, largely he's booked pretty well outside of him working with people like Fuego del Sol. I don't need to see Malakai Black working any more matches with Fuego del Sol. I really don't. I don't care about Fuego del Sol. And to be honest with you, I care even less about the Dark Order. I've been over the Dark Order. I don't care about the Dark Order. I don't care about Fuego del Sol, but I do care about Malakai Black and the House of Black. And hopefully we'll start seeing even more of them on TV. Later in the show, Pentagon Dark was backstage with Alex, and he had a message for the House of Black. And maybe that's why we haven't seen them as much recently, because they're still waiting for Rey Fénix to come back. He's not quite ready to come back just yet. But he had a message for the House of Black. He said, "Don't forget about the Death Triangle. If you continue to play with Fuego, you are going to get burned." And that was the message from Pentagon Dark. Calling All Marks in the chat says, "Silver is over." Well, good for him. I mean, John Silver, when he makes his big comeback, you know, he's kind of that scrappy underdog babyface. The Dark Order as a whole, the Dark Order gimmick, I don't care about. When I see them on my television, they have, I don't want to say go away heat with me, but it's just, I lose interest. I don't care. I just don't. John Silver has a great comeback, taking nothing away from him. Stu Grayson, very talented. Even Chris Jericho, I think, was the one on commentary tonight pointing that out. Probably doesn't get enough credit for how good he really is. But the whole Dark Order thing, it just doesn't do anything. They get more television time than other people who should be getting more television time and don't. Something needs to be done about that. I mean, I get that the Dark Order is their baby. That's their gimmick. They started it almost at the beginning of AEW. They didn't bring them in from WWE or Ring of Honor or some other place. It's their idea. It's their creation. I get that. And then the sentimental aspect of it with Brody Lee, I get that. But at this point, it's hard to care when they're out there. You know, they have some talented guys. There's no doubt about it. Maybe they'll go on as singles on their own at some point and kind of branch out and do something. You know, maybe they'll go after the TNT title or something. But yeah, I don't care. I don't care about the Dark Order. I don't care about Fuego del Sol. Frankly, this match shouldn't have even gone as long as it did. Jamie Hayter. Undefeated in singles matches coming into this match. Undefeated this year in singles matches. Against Sky Blue in a qualifying match for the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Toni Storm was the first person in either the men's or the women's tournament. She was the first woman to qualify for the Owen Hart Cup with her win over the Bunny on Dynamite on Wednesday. Toni Storm, we know, is in the tournament. We don't know anybody else. We still haven't seen a bracket. On commentary, Excalibur noted that Britt Baker was not there tonight in the corner of Jamie Hayter because Britt Baker is boycotting AEW until they're back in her hometown of Pittsburgh, which is going to be on April 20th. They're going to be back in Pittsburgh for Dynamite, so we will not be seeing Britt Baker on TV for another, what was that, 3 weeks, I guess. 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. Blue got a pair of near falls with a small package and a crucifix bomb. Jamie Hayter came back with a backbreaker, and Hayter folded her up with a fucking great backdrop driver. That looked great. Hayter came back with a superplex from the middle rope, and she rolled through into a brainbuster, and then she picked up Sky Blue and hit the ripcord lariat. She hit the Rainmaker. She picked up the win. Sky Blue got quite a bit of offense here, more than I thought she would. But this was a total showcase for Jamie Hayter. Tony Storm against Jamie Hayter. I don't know where they're going to fall in the brackets, but Tony Storm against Jamie Hayter, that could be fun. That could be a fun match. And we had Keith Lee in the main event, his second Rampage main event. One-on-one against Powerhouse Hobbs. The two of them got to close out the show tonight. We got ourselves a hoss fight. Hobbs collided with Lee for a shoulder block, a shoulder tackle early on that sent Lee backwards into the ropes, and Lee came off, and he nailed him. He body checked him, and out of the ring went Powerhouse Hobbs. He went through the ropes and out to the floor, and he was very frustrated as they went into the final picture-in-picture. During the break, I was looking at the little box, which I hate doing, and Hobbs shoved Keith Lee face-first twice into the ring post. When they came back, Keith Lee drilled Hobbs with a lariat, took him down, and then set up for the spirit bomb, but Hobbs backdropped his way out of it. Keith Lee came off the ropes, and Hobbs caught him for a Randy Orton-esque scoop power slam, one of those snap power slams that we see. Well, we see Dustin Rhodes do it as well. This didn't have the same snap because Keith Lee's a big guy, but he did get him over for it. Lee came back with a giant beel. He threw Hobbs halfway across the ring. Hobbs was in trouble when Ricky Starks left the announce desk along with Taz, and Starks ran down with a chair in his hand. He got up on the apron. Keith Lee came over. He punched the chair out of his hands, and here comes Swerve Strickland. He came up behind Ricky Starks and pulled him down off the apron. Swerve landed a right hand that cut Starks open above the right eye, and after I just complimented them, and I understand this might have been hard way, but I just got done the other night paying AEW a compliment by telling everybody, oh, we had no blood. We had no garbage matches on the show. And we had no blood. Because every week there's blood on the show. And I just got done talking about this on Wednesday. And we get to the Friday show. And what do we have? We have fucking blood. Not a lot of blood, but we had blood. I guess technically this was the Wednesday show since this was taped on Wednesday. And we got blood on the show after all. Hobbs hit the last will and testament, which is what he calls his spine buster. He got Keith Lee up for the spine buster and dropped him. Referee, though, was distracted outside the ring with Swerve and Starks trying to separate the two of them. And once he got back inside, Hobbs picked Lee up. And Lee scooped him up onto his shoulders and hit the Big Bang Catastrophe for the win. He gave Will Hobbs his BBC. And he won the match. But he had no time to celebrate his victory because as soon as the bell rang and the match was over, Ricky Starks, he hit Swerve Strickland with the chair outside. And he gut-wrenched him up over onto his shoulder and he gave Swerve the Rochambeau through the timekeeper's table out on the floor. Starks got in the ring and he whacked Lee across the back with the chair. And Ricky brought a table into the ring. He and Hobbs propped it up in the corner. Keith Lee fought back, and he grabbed Starks. He goozled him. He grabbed him by the throat. But here comes Will Hobbs charging in, and he spears Keith Lee through the table, which exploded in the corner upon impact. And Team Taz ends the show standing tall over Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I thought the match with Lee and Hobbs, it was a very basic match. You know, they did some big man spots. It wasn't really, honestly, it wasn't really that great of a match. But yeah, they did the requisite big man spots that you would expect them to do. And then they had the interference there at the end. And At least Keith Lee picked up the win. I liked the opener. I thought the opener was decent enough. The women's match was solid. The main event also I thought it was good. I didn't think it was, you know, very good or anything like that. So, you know, look, for an hour-long show, at least you get some solid stuff. This was not one of the stronger episodes of Rampage. Especially on a night where I could have been watching the Ring of Honor show. You know, I said, I made a big mistake by watching SmackDown and not watching the Supercard of Honor based on what everybody is saying about it. Same thing with Rampage. I should have just ditched Rampage as well and probably just stuck to the Ring of Honor show. But you make mistakes in life and you learn from them, right? So it is what it is. But let's check the Twitter polls and see what you guys thought of both these shows. Well, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. SmackDown, 14% thumbs up. We are on the road to WrestleMania, baby. 14% thumbs up. 86. 85. 85.5% thumbs down for the go-home episode of SmackDown. And over on the Rampage side of things, it's almost completely flipped. 80% thumbs up and just shy of 20% thumbs down. I think that's being a little generous. But then again, it wasn't a thumbs down show. It's just not an enthusiastic thumbs up. I wouldn't give this show a thumbs down. But to the tune of 80%, yeah, I don't know about that. That I'm not too sure about. I fucked up. What do you want from me? I fucked up. It happens. It happens. We all have our moments. Let's take a look at your super chats here. We'll go through them and then we'll get on out of here. Lot to do tomorrow. A lot of stuff to watch. A lot of stuff to cover. It is, of course, WrestleMania Saturday, but I'm going to try to play catch up on the events of tonight. And then 1 o'clock Eastern tomorrow is when NXT Stand and Deliver begins on Peacock. Or as Pat McAfee and Randy Orton were calling it on Pat McAfee's show earlier today, the cock. Stand and Deliver on the cock tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern. And then we'll talk about that as soon as the show goes off the air. But we begin here with Groovy Goose, who dropped a super chat. Look at this, 6 hours ago. Groovy Goose dropping some love here. Says, I guess Scott Steiner is going to the moon now. I guess so. The moon landing with Scott Steiner, who's one day said that he would never go into the WWE Hall of Fame because it doesn't exist. There is no Hall of Fame to go into. They could put the Hall of Fame on the moon, he said. And people can point to the sky and say, hey, that's where the WWE Hall of Fame is. Scott Steiner went to the moon tonight. Ojolly Burgos with the $10 super chat. Have to work tonight, but wanted to say thank you for always being one of the few non-toxic podcasts covering WWE. And despite the poor total, well, it's a good thing he didn't watch this stream today. And despite the poor total build, I think it's going to be a good three shows from WWE and NXT. Well, NXT is going to be a very good show. And WrestleMania may surprise people. You know, we can talk about the build, but the build doesn't matter if they end up putting on a great show. That's what people are going to remember. Of course, remains to be seen whether or not this will go down as a great WrestleMania. Let's see. Nayef Al-Safar dropping a pair of super chats. Thank you, Nayef. Boots. Damn you, Jay Lethal. Why? Fun match, though. I'm confused. I'm assuming that is a Super Card of Honor reference there. Tuxedo T Servo, $5 super chat. Cody to WWE/WrestleMania feels like the ultimate April Fool's Day joke. Proof that sometimes reality is stranger than fiction. Joseph Brooks, water works for Shad. Yeah, I'm sure there were a lot of waterworks when his family accepted on his behalf of the Hall of Fame tonight. Samoan Fan 101 called it. Cage and Ring of Honor and Suzuki is the new TV champion. Well, how about that? Did I miss Minoru Suzuki on the show? Don't tell me I missed Minoru Suzuki. I didn't. You're talking about some other. You're talking about like Jimmy Suzuki or something. Don't be telling me that I missed Minoru Suzuki on the show tonight. Jamie Dorsch, Steve Austin said that he was supposed to feud with Big Boss Man before he missed a run-in at Survivor Series. Was the Buried Alive match supposed to be Kane against The Undertaker at Rock Bottom in 1998? I don't know if it was supposed to be Kane against The Undertaker, but I do know that story. Boss Man was late on a run-in at that Survivor Series show. It might have been in the Steve Austin Mankind match, I believe, in the semifinals of the Deadly Game Tournament. And so, yeah. That's what happens sometimes, you know. You make one mistake, and you pay the price for it. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, I'm not cool with dead mother jokes. My mom died on her birthday 4 years ago. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. It was a stupid fucking line on the show tonight for a dead feud that nobody gives a shit about, and they're trying to create something out of nothing. You got... literally one night before WrestleMania. I don't remember offhand if their match is tomorrow or on Sunday. I think it's tomorrow. So you're 24 hours away from WrestleMania. Just leave well enough alone. It was completely unnecessary. Julio Scissors. I married the wrong woman once. I'm in no position to complain that you watched the wrong wrestling show. Well, we all learn from those mistakes, don't we? Yeezus, 1999 Super Chat. Missed out on a great pay-per-view, Solomonster. Hope this 20 makes you feel better. It does. I appreciate you having sympathy on me. Really was not a good show tonight. Tomas, but what is the card for WrestleMania? The joke dies. You with that joke again. You're gonna beat that thing until there's nothing left. You're going to beat that like a dead horse. Thank you, Tomas. Had to get that last line. He had to get the last word. Temjin Zephyr, Supercard of Honor was an amazing show. Briscoe's and FTR was an epic match, probably a match of the year candidate. Marcus Robinson Johnson with the $5 Super Chat. WWE should have inducted you into the Hall of Fame today after you made both Shawn Michaels and the Road Dogg submit on your first day at the PC. I agree. I think I just created a great case for me to go into the Hall of Fame with my performance in today's Sound Off Gamer video. I beat those two Hall of Famers into submission. I beat Shawn Michaels into submission. I did it for Brett. Rodimus Prime, $20 Super Chat. Rodimus, happy WrestleMania weekend. Glad I missed that useless SmackDown. That said, buy, sell, or rent on who you think is the most annoying sports personality. Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, or Colin Cowherd. I corrected you there. His name is Cowherd. I don't really like any of them, to be honest with you. You're making me rank three people who I have no use for. Honestly, though, of those three, the one that really annoys the fuck out of me the most, I think, is Skip Bayless. I really don't like him. There's just something about the guy. I just can't fucking stand him. Samoan Fan 101, Moss eliminates Styles and Balor within months. That's right. He eliminated AJ from the Royal Rumble. I forgot about that. Team Forward, Finn Balor deserves better. Frank Aquilino, $5 Super Chat. Why has it always been said that Stone Cold and The Rock main evented three WrestleManias, even though they did not headline WrestleMania 19? I don't know that... I mean, I don't think I've ever said that they've main evented three WrestleManias. I think the people who say that... You know, WrestleMania 19 had multiple matches that you could have, you know, billed as or referred to as the main event. Kurt Angle against Brock Lesnar was the match that went on last. Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon was promoted as the main event of the show. That got more promotion than any other match on that entire show. So there were a lot of people who thought that was the main event going into it. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho, to some people, that was their main event. And then, of course, you had Austin and The Rock. Yes, they technically did not main event. I think it's a matter of semantics, but, you know, it sounds good. The reality is they didn't headline WrestleMania 19, but they did work three different WrestleManias against each other. Derek Jones with the $10 Super Chat. Good luck getting through this weekend, Sala Monster. Definitely appreciate all of your content. By the way, your My Rise Sound Off Gamer is gold. Well, there is more of that yet to come, so stay tuned. And leave a like on that video as well. Nick Garza with the 1992 Royal Rumble Super Chat. Hey, Sala Monster, just wanted to say, been loving the stream intros, especially that rain one yesterday. It was awesome. We'll wait until you see the new one tomorrow. We're going to debut a new one on the WrestleMania stream. Night one, not the NXT stream, the WrestleMania Night One stream. We're going to keep the Space Station for the Wednesday reviews, the AEW, the Space Station launch, the two-minute countdown. We're going to keep that one. But there's a brand new one that we're going to be using going forward that it's very simple. But I love it. I love it. British Soundboard Pranks. Respect your decision to stick to your usual schedule and cover SmackDown and Rampage. Totally get the tradition aspect of watching a WWE go-home show on Mania weekend, even if we suspect that it will suck. Well, thank you, British Soundboard. Dr. Scorpio, is it just me or is Ronda even worse on the microphone than her previous run? Her coming out and smiling to the fans feels forced to me. If it feels that way, that's because it is. That's what she was told to do, and so she's doing what she was told to do by her boss. Very simple. Shin Akuma with the $20 Super Chat. Night 3, Bebe, sending some support for tonight's stream. Shin, I hope to see you tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow afternoon. But again, tomorrow night after WrestleMania. Groovy Goose. Between choosing SmackDown over Ring of Honor and losing DeGrom before the season even begins, cannot catch a break. Here's to be the booker. Well, it wouldn't be a New York Mets season if we didn't have guys going down before the season even started. That's how you know baseball season's almost here in New York. When the injuries start piling up for the New York Mets, you know the baseball season is right around the fucking corner. Samoan Fan 101, mocking Drew's mother is like Paige mocking Reed Flair. Yeah, WWE has a fetish for mocking the dead to try to get heat in their storyline. Remember Eddie's in Hell? That's another one. This is not the first time they've done this. Dom Joseph with the $4.99. Do you think it's smart that AEW is taking their time with Hook, or should we have the big belt? Should he have the big belt already? No, he shouldn't have the big belt. No. You take their time with Hook, and before long, there'll be a fracture in Team Taz. He'll go after the TNT, Eventually, maybe the TNT. The FTW. I think Hook will be your next FTW champion. But take your time. There's no need to rush into anything with him. Dr. Scorpio, as your wrestling doctor, I recommend you stop reviewing Raw and SmackDown for a while for the sake of your insanity and your health. I'm sorry, doctor, but I've got a job to do. Frank Aquilino, was there ever a definitive end to the Stone Cold McMahon feud? Honestly, the definitive end should have been the fully loaded pay-per-view in 99. When Austin beat The Undertaker in that first blood match, and it was supposed to be where if Undertaker lost, Vince McMahon would have to leave the company and would be gone. And he got into the ring, and he shook hands with Austin, and Austin kicked him in the gut and gave him a stunner, blood pouring down his face. That really should have been the final, kind of the close to that chapter. But then it just went on, eventually. It continued on, and I don't believe there ever was a definitive close. No, I don't believe there was. Shin Akuma, back with the $5. Checked out the Sound of Gamer. Sean needs to stay away from the elbow drops. Good stuff. Sean Longworth, from Huntington Station, Long Island, and you remind me a lot of my old friends and family. Always keeping it real. Thank you, brother. Go Mets and Islanders. Thank you, Sean. And Jeffrey Hall, $4.99 Super Chat. You missed a real good pay-per-view tonight. That's what I've been told. I have been told that by more than a few people. I missed out on a really good show tonight. We got another one here from Ricky Edmond. $10 Russo on a poll. You're absolutely right about WWE mocking the dead. Remember the CM Punk and Undertaker story? That's another one. That's right. I forgot about that one. Heading into WrestleMania 29. Didn't he, like, throw ashes on Undertaker that were supposedly Paul Bear's ashes he threw on him? I'm telling you, they have a fetish for mocking the dead. And the problem is that it never works. That's the thing. You would think after the second or third time they've done it, where all it does is just make people cringe and it doesn't really add anything to the feud, you would think they would just go, all right, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore. It never works. It's just being done for shock value. Says, yes, I want Stone Cold Stunner on Vince to close WrestleMania X7, says Joey Perez. Austin had second thoughts about that, too. He says he wishes he could go back, call an audible. And when he shakes hands with Vince in the ring that night, just kick him in the gut and give him a stunner. Hey, Tundar, what's going on? Tundar the Argonian says, acknowledge that like button. Yes, do acknowledge that like button. All right, before we wrap things up here, we didn't do it last night. I promised you guys we would do it tonight. It's that time of night. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
We have another super chat coming in from Samoan Fan. 101 with the $2. Saying you missed Minoru Suzuki. Now Murder Grandpa is mad. Now I'm really upset that I missed Murder Grandpa tonight. But it is time to be the booker. Voting is still open for the semifinal round of the men's tournament and the women's tournament. And it's probably going to wrap up in the next day. So if you want to vote, it's under the community tab here on the YouTube channel. You can vote on which matches you want to advance to the finals of both tournaments. And we are on the verge of crowning our first ever men's and women's Be the Booker champions to crown the match that you guys think is the best main event that I have booked so far in Be the Booker. But of course, what we do here tonight, this does not count in the tournament. This is just me trying to book a... Well, you know what? It's WrestleMania weekend, right? So let's say that this is... We're trying to book a good WrestleMania main event here. So let's see how we do. On the men's side, round and around it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Jon Moxley, former AEW and WWE world champion. We've got Jon Moxley in the main event of WrestleMania going one-on-one with Bad Bunny. I know that Bad Bunny looked good in his appearances, but Bad Bunny in the WrestleMania main event is a fail. That gets the buzzer treatment. I don't care how good Bad Bunny looked in the match he had at WrestleMania last year. I don't care how good he looked in the Royal Rumble. Automatic fail. So now we try with the ladies. Maybe we'll have better luck. From Jon Moxley against Bad Bunny, we go to Medusa. Hall of Famer Medusa. Former women's champion Medusa. Medusa goes one-on-one with Hikaru Shida. A good match. I'll take that over Jon Moxley against Bad Bunny. So there you go. Men's and women's Be the Booker for tonight. Hikaru Shida one-on-one against Medusa. How do you think that match would go? How do you think that match would go between Shida and Medusa? Because I think that would actually be a pretty good match. Back in her prime, one-on-one against Shida. Shida obviously is very good. I like that match. I think that would be a great television main event. Not a WrestleMania main event, but a good television main event. Bob the Builder, drop it a super chat. Samoa Joe, he says, is all elite. It was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time. Worst kept secret that Samoa Joe is going to end up in AEW or working for Tony Khan in some capacity. What's really interesting now is that Joe finds himself back in the same place with William Regal. So maybe we'll have Joe once again shouting Regal's name out. I need to hear Joe shouting Regal's name again on my television. Tomas says, who is the most underrated wrestler of all time? That's an impossible question. There's been so many wrestlers who I think have been underrated and underappreciated. It's an impossible, I don't know. It's an impossible question to answer. There's been far too many of them. Far too many people who could have gone farther than they did or could have been a world champion when they weren't. There is no one singular most underrated or overrated anything of all time. I'm being told that Undertaker in his Hall of Fame speech said never say never. That better not be in reference to another match. Never say never. I hope that was in reference to some other career change. Maybe he was referring to becoming a doctor or a lawyer or a proctologist or something. Not wrestling another match. I know the other day he said he could squeeze one out if he had to. I said the other night, I go, this is not a fucking bowel movement here. Although I understand you get to a certain age, like Undertaker probably is, it probably becomes a little harder to squeeze things out. Maybe the Undertaker needs some more fiber in his diet. It happens as men get older. It's just natural. It's the last thing he said, never say never. This guy can't help himself. It's unbelievable. He can't help himself. That's why I joked when you know, he talked about at the end, I guess it was at the end of the documentary, right? The last ride, I'm done, please. It's only a matter of time. Him saying that tells you everything you need to know. The moment that Vince McMahon needs an attraction for Saudi Arabia, he's back. The Undertaker has not wrestled his last match. I will tell you that right now. I believe it with all my heart and soul. The Undertaker has not, he should have already, but The Undertaker has not wrestled his last match. The question is not, is The Undertaker going to come back? The question is, who is The Undertaker going to be wrestling when he does come back? Anybody but Goldberg. Skywalker with the $4.99. Taker winning the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. Thoughts? No. Why would Undertaker come back to win a Jobber Battle Royal? It doesn't make any sense. Look at who has won the Battle Royal. Yeah, they had Braun Strowman and Big Show win two different years. So what? Mojo Rawley, Jey Uso, Madcap Moss. This is what he's going to come back for? To win the Andre Battle Royal and do what? Restore some sort of value and respect to a trophy that never had it to begin with? It was a gimmick. It was just a way to get everybody on the show. They never had any plans to do anything special with it. The best Andre Battle Royal they ever did was the first one. And look at what they ended up doing with Cesaro. Look at how they capitalized on that with Cesaro. It could have been used as a vehicle for good. It turned out to be every other Battle Royal that they do. For Undertaker to come back in the Andre Battle Royal would be a complete waste of time. Ricky Edmond with the $10 super chat. So I guess when anybody turns heel on AJ Styles, they have to low blow him. I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, the guy hasn't learned his lesson. He doesn't wear a protective cup. So, you know, if I were to feud with AJ Styles, the first thing I would do is I would kick him in the dick. Because I know how effective it's going to be. It's smart. Skywalker says, Undertaker against Hulk Hogan at Sweet Saudi Money. I'm getting the sense that Skywalker has some sort of death wish for The Undertaker. He wants The Undertaker to die in the ring. If not, perhaps he wants Hulk Hogan to die in the ring. Hulk Hogan can barely walk. I actually think The Undertaker is in better physical condition than Hulk Hogan is. But Hogan's also a lot older, and he's had, you know, all the back surgeries. No, we do not need to see Hulk Hogan against The Undertaker. I don't even want to see Hulk Hogan against The Undertaker in a game of fucking chess, let alone in the wrestling ring. Marcus the Entertainer, Joe, Samoa Joe, mentioned being in the Owen Cup in the Ring of Honor presser. That is interesting. And we don't know anybody who's in the men's tournament. They've not announced any qualifiers for it yet. They've not put out a tournament, you know, bracket or anything because nobody's qualified. Samoa Joe in the Owen would be very cool. I would like to see that. Heavyweight Drake in the chat. Maybe that's a gimmick. Let older guys wrestle to the death. Sweet at the Sweet Saudi Money shows. Maybe that's the new Saudi Arabia gimmick. Wrestle until you drop. Just keep bringing the old guys over. Eventually, one of them will. Favorite Undertaker moments. You know, honestly, the first one that comes to mind when I think of favorite Undertaker moments is his American Badass debut at Judgment Day in 2000 when he rode out on the motorcycle and he got that huge reaction. And he was laying waste to all the members of the McMahon-Helmsley faction as time ticked off the clock for the Iron Man match. There were like 30 seconds left. Everybody's going nuts. I think they were in Louisville that night. That was a special moment. And then it's like the little moments. Survivor Series in 93, when he and Yokozuna mixed it up on TV for the first time, and they did a spot outside the ring. Yoko went for the bonsai drop, and Undertaker did the zombie sit-up, and Yoko missed. They ended up on the outside on the floor, and Yokozuna grabbed him by the hair, and he rammed him headfirst into the ring steps. And then Undertaker just violently whipped his hair back, and you just saw the whites of his eyes. And he did this, like, head turn to Yoko, and Yokozuna's eyes just, like, bugged out of his head. For whatever reason, I always loved that moment. And I like the feud between the two of them. There's just something about it. I always liked that. But the American Badass debut at Judgment Day stands out to me. That's probably my favorite Undertaker moment, to be honest with you. Trying to think of any singular moments. He's had so many, you know, returns because he's been out with so many injuries over the years. That one would probably be at the top of my list, in all honesty. Probably. Samoan Fan 101. WWE will have Happy Corbin retire The Undertaker like Kurt Angle. Oh, he's just going to retire all the old guys, huh? All the legends? Marcus the Entertainer with the $5 Super Chat. If you don't watch the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, you will be lost on some angles that were done for AEW television. Well, if that's the case, then it's incumbent upon AEW to air highlights of this on their television show on Wednesday, because not everybody is a Ring of Honor fan, and not everybody is going to be watching Ring of Honor. I will go back and watch it. But if there are angles that were furthered or started on that show with AEW talent, then it's up to them to show highlights of that and explain that on television for the viewer. Don't just assume that everybody who watches Dynamite is also going to be following Ring of Honor. Legend killer Baron Corbin. ratings killer, Baron Corbin. I'm sure that main event segment tonight did gangbuster numbers. Him interviewing Drew McIntyre's sword. You know what I might do on the next stream? You know, I have a whole bunch of streams coming up. Maybe what I'll do is I'll interview the water bottle here. I have a water bottle right here. We'll call this Drew McIntyre's water bottle. I think maybe on the next Sound Off stream I do, I'll interview the water bottle. And that would probably be more entertaining than what we got in the main event tonight on SmackDown. So stay tuned. The Undertaker is joining us on the stream. The Undertaker 2024. Apparently he is running for president. Maybe that's what he was talking about. Never say never. Vote for Undertaker 2024. What a ticket that would be, huh? Undertaker and Kane? Yeah, no thank you. I never knew how close Undertaker was to Crush, seeing how he teared up. Showed how close he was to him. He was. It was a good speech. Upset Foley did not get mentioned. That is weird. That Mick Foley wouldn't get mentioned because his career is also very much linked to The Undertaker and that Hell in a Cell match. Hey, Dustin, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the channel. Skywalker, Taker against AJ in next year's WrestleMania. No. I can't say it any more definitively than that. No. The Undertaker should stay retired. The Undertaker is done. He got his Hall of Fame induction. This is a great way for him to call it a day and move on to the next chapter, whatever that is. Maybe it's talent recruitment. Maybe he's going to work in some other capacity with them like Triple H is doing right now. Ricky Edmund dropping the 20 spot here on the stream. Buy or sell on which triple threat match would you want to see? The top three New Generation stars, Brett versus Shawn versus Undertaker, or the top three Attitude Era stars, Austin against Rock against Triple H. Triple H was not one of the top three stars of the Attitude Era. I'm sorry. The top three stars of the Attitude Era were Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and Vince McMahon. And if you're going by wrestlers, then you could say Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and The Undertaker. I do not put Triple H in the top three. That was the match, though, that we were going to get at Survivor Series in 99 before they did the angle where Austin was run over by the car. Well, you know, it's weird. They didn't do triple threat matches back in the New Generation era. They started to towards the end of it at some of the live events. And it is kind of puzzling we never got one on TV like in a pay-per-view main event. They went right to that Final Four in 97. I don't think we ever got a triple threat. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be wrong here, but I don't believe we ever got a triple threat match on WWE television before we had that first Final Four match in February of 97. And then after that, I think, is when we got the first triple threat. But if I'm wrong, then I'm sure somebody will correct me. But I think the four-way came before the three-way on TV. But anyway, Ricky, to answer your question, which of those two matches would I have preferred to see? Probably Bret, Shawn, and Undertaker, I think. Let's see here. Want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Here we go. MHS, $5 super chat. Random bit. Whatever happened to the Lex Luger Icons episode? Ditto the Vlad documentary. They're being held hostage by WWE. They're both completed. They're in the can. And for whatever reason, they're not airing them. They're either going to wait and, I don't know, try to sell them to another network or another streaming service and make money off them. Or, I don't know. It's ridiculous. Because they advertised them and then at the last minute they pulled them. It's not even like, well, they're developing these things and then they just kind of stopped and didn't give any sort of status update. They literally announced the air date and then pulled it right before and said nothing. They gave no update to people. So, I mean, it really is a level of disrespect for their audience to not at least, you know, explain to people why it didn't air, or if there's a new date when that might be, or, you know, nothing. They just pulled it, they hold it, and it's going to be held indefinitely. I think Mike Johnson, a PW Insider, has inquired about the Vladimir superfan documentary, because Vladimir is a very good friend of his, and gave a lot of his time to be interviewed for it, and apparently hasn't been in the best of health. And he's checked into it, and he says, as things stand right now, it's just not going to see the light of day. It's probably never going to air. You do all that work, all that filming, and then to not even air it is... it's completely befuddling. Joseph Brooks, did Vince hate the American Badass Undertaker? I mean, if he hated it, he wouldn't have let him do it. Yeah, he wouldn't have let him do it. So I think he didn't want to acknowledge... there was a period of time years ago where he didn't want to acknowledge it because it was a different version. It was the non-dead man version of The Undertaker. And so I think when they were hyping the Triple H match with him at WrestleMania 27, clearly there was some sort of an edict that they were not allowed to use footage of him as the American Badass or Big Evil, because we didn't get any highlights of their previous, you know, matches from like the WrestleMania 17 match. I don't know if I would say Vince hated it, but for whatever reason, he just didn't want it acknowledged. Skywalker, Taker is the dead man, so what does it matter if he dies? Undertaker against Shawn Michaels at Sweet Saudi Money. And quit hating on Taker's comeback. He says, have some respect. All right, fine. I'll do the Ivan Drago thing and say that if he dies, he dies. But if he does, it's on your head. Deontay Soigne with the $5 super chat. Solomonster, just want to say thank you for this insane schedule this week. Your videos have helped me through dark days. Also, thank you, Spencer, for recommending. Much love. Thank you, Deontay. I'm glad that you have found value in these shows, and I hope that you keep watching. Gerald Murphy has been a channel member for 3 months now. He says, been listening to you for close to 8 years, ever since the TV Tracks days. Happy to finally be in a position to give towards the show now. Gerald, thank you very much. We have a lot of people who have been listening since the TV Tracks days. And thank you for becoming a channel member 3 months as a Sound Off Superstar. You can become a channel member. You hit that join button down below. It'll give you all the details. Miguel, possibly. It's been a few years since I've been to a Ring of Honor show, but never say never. I'm not against it. Please bring back RSPW Rewind. There will be another installment. I have to pace them because there's not a lot of material left. The well has almost run dry on the old post that I've been able to find, but we do have another edition coming up soon. I do have some content left for it. It's not dead yet. Dry Chicken, Undertaker against Tom Brady in a game of golf. Frost, who's your favorite Mets player ever? Gary Carter. Germinator, Seth freaking Rollins against The Undertaker tomorrow. I'll stop it. And Shin Akuma. Undertaker taking that brutal table bump from Extreme Rules in 2008. That does stick out to me. That's a good one. That does stick out to me. Yeah, that was an insane bump for a man of his size to take off that ladder in that match against Edge. Hey, KD, it didn't come through. So if you want to just note it in the chat, and I'll read your message now, but nothing came through here on my end, so... Skywalker... dropping $4.99. Thanks for answering my stupid Undertaker questions. Thanks for everything. Good night, sir. Well, you're very welcome. All in good fun. Uh, Tango says he preferred Big Evil over the American Badass. Yeah, Big Evil was good. Yeah, Juan, I know. I should have used the clown music for April Fools. You're right. Deuce. Tony Khan, he says, just said that he would think about running a big Ring of Honor show during AEW pay-per-view weekends. Do you think it could work? Running a big Ring of Honor show on pay-per-view weekends? Well, I assume he meant not on the same night, because that would be fucking stupid. But yeah, if he wants to turn it into some kind of like a big weekend, like a big wrestling weekend, and have a Ring of Honor show on a Saturday and an AEW show on a Sunday, I mean, he could do that. I think that would be fine. Just not running the same night, I assume, like he did tonight. Tonight was unavoidable because he didn't book the date for this show. But in the future, he has to avoid running on the same night, because that doesn't make any sense. Kenneth Taffy, $5 super chat. How did you feel about the Hall of Fame, especially with The Undertaker? I don't know, because I didn't see it yet. So I will let you know once I watch it. I have not watched it yet. Am I going to react to The Toys That Made Us, Netflix professional wrestling episode season 3? I think I may have already watched that months ago. So, no, probably not, because I don't remember much about it at this. If I did watch it, I don't remember much about it at this point. By the way, I think some people in the chat are confused, because they're saying that this super chat was missed. I'm all caught up on super chats. If you're referring to the green boxes that pop up in the chat, that is not a super chat. That is not a super chat. That is just highlighting the channel members. So when they put a message in the chat, theirs is highlighted a certain color. That's different from a super chat. Those are hard. Those go by and I miss them. I can't read all those, because those aren't listed in a separate column. So as you guys are typing, they just go right by. I acknowledge the ones that I can. The super chats come up in a different window. So I just went through it a second time. I'm all covered on that end. So I think that's where some of the confusion sometimes comes from. They see the green box, but that's different. That's just highlighting specific messages from channel members. Taker against Sting or Austin against Punk? Which match would have been bigger? Austin against Punk. Deadpool, can you tell us how important Steve Austin was to wrestling? Well, he was important enough that he has been retired for almost 20 years, and he is about to headline his first WrestleMania in 21 years. They're very likely going to close out night one of WrestleMania with a man who has not wrestled since 2003. That right there gives you a pretty good sense, I think, of how big of a star he was and how important he was to WWE. They continue to make money off of him. Lots and lots of money. If Austin did not get hot when he did, if he didn't get white hot and popular when he did, it's hard to say whether or not the company would have made it through that period, because they were in dire straits early in 1997. It wasn't until later in the year that they finally found their footing. Vince went back to Brett and said, oh, don't go to WCW. I can afford your contract now. And Brett was like, well, it's too late. You told me to go negotiate, and I signed the deal. That's when the worm began to turn in their favor. But if Austin doesn't get hot when he does, I don't know that we're talking about WWE on the stream right now. I know that sounds, you know, maybe a little over the top, but I think it's true. You know, he carried that company to the promised land in the late 90s. And they got very lucky that they had The Rock, who was, you know, The Rock was on the same level as Austin. We look back on it now, it's almost like Rock and Austin are on their own tier, right? But Austin was the biggest thing in the entire business at that time. And to this day, when he makes appearances, he still, when the glass shatters, he gets that reaction that nobody else gets. The business that he did, the tickets he sold, the merch he sold, that Austin 316 t-shirt right there is right next to the NWO shirt as the highest selling, highest grossing wrestling t-shirt of all time. People outside of the WWE fan bubble who maybe didn't even really follow wrestling, they knew who Stone Cold was. I mean, you saw his stuff everywhere. The Austin 316 shirts and just, it was everywhere. His importance to the wrestling business at that time was just immeasurable. It's like a once-in-a-generational talent that gets over at that level. They were very lucky to have him and The Rock at the same time. They'd be lucky to have one guy even remotely close to that level of stardom that he had at that time. So, very important. Austin was very, very important to that company at exactly the time that they needed him to get over the way that he did. Because it could have been life or death for their company if he didn't get over when he got over at that time. So, and that's not an exaggeration. That's the truth. Germinator, Jacob DeGrom injury equals Mets season over. Well, let's not count them out just yet. We're not gonna give up just yet. And EJ Slemp, excluding Cornette, Elizabeth, and Heyman, which managers are left to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame? Paul Bearer is in, right? Lou Albano is in. Fred Blassie is in. Cornette's not in. Elizabeth is not in. Heyman will go in eventually. Jimmy Hart, right? Jimmy Hart's in. Yeah, Jimmy Hart is in. I don't know. I mean, aside from the ones that you just mentioned, the ones that we know are still not in yet, I think that covers all the key ones. You know, like Oliver Humperdinck. I wouldn't put him in the WWE Hall of Fame. Frenchie Martin. No. I'm trying to think of other managers at that time. Luscious Johnny V. The Reverend Slick, no. Mr. Fuji's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else. I think that pretty much covers the key ones. Sherry is in the Hall of Fame. Gary Hart, I want to say, is Gary Hart a legacy inductee? I feel like Gary Hart might be a legacy inductee. That's when they don't want to give them an actual induction. So they call them a legacy inductee, and they just slap their name on the program. I'm almost positive that Arnold Skolin's already in the Hall of Fame as a wrestler. Mr. Perfect's manager, the coach. Well, John Tolos in his day was a huge draw. He was a big-time wrestler, but as a manager in WWF, he fucking sucked. And his run was like a few months. I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame at all. I actually think he managed the Beverly Brothers briefly, but then he left the company. And then we got the Genius. So maybe Lanny. Maybe they got to put Lanny Poffo. Well, wait, did Lanny go in, though, as part of the Savage induction? Did they end up inducting Lanny and their father? I don't remember now if it was just Randy that went in or if they put the whole Poffo family in. I think they just put Randy in. They should put the Doctor of Style Slick in just for that Jive Soul Bro song. That's an all-time Hall of Fame song. For that song alone, which he sang, they should put him in the Hall of Fame. All right, so they only put Randy in. Well, you could always put the Genius in the Hall of Fame. You know you're going to get a good speech, if nothing else, from Lanny. Colonel Robert Parker, Tennessee Lee, good old Tennessee Lee. Well, now you're getting into other promotions. They don't really put other promotions managers in the Hall of Fame. They'll put other big stars from other promotions, but other promotions managers? I don't know about that. I don't see them doing that. Deborah's not going into the Hall of Fame. All right, and King Kong Bundy is not in. Toondar, it's a good one. I don't know why King Kong Bundy is not in. King Kong Bundy should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. All those giants that they put in front of Hogan back then, Andre, Big John Studd, they're all in the Hall of Fame. King Kong Bundy headlined a WrestleMania in a cage. King Kong Bundy killed Little Beaver at WrestleMania 3. And then came back to the company and had a second run. It was part of the Million Dollar Corporation. So King Kong Bundy, yeah, I would put him in the Hall of Fame. He's another one, though. Dead. Wouldn't be able to give his speech. Maybe he'll be a legacy inductee. Rolando Martinez. Channel member for 5 months. He's a sound-off legend. And he also sent a $10 super chat. Thank you, Rolando. But I see your message here. He says, I got teary-eyed with the Warrior Award presentation for Shad Gaspard and his beautiful family. Love your work, brother. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Rolando. That's right, King Kong Bundy, he killed Bud Bundy. Actually, King Kong Bundy was on two different episodes of Married with Children. He was on one of the earlier seasons as the... Oh my God, what was his name on the show? He was part of Peg's family from Wanker County, but I forgot what his name was. And then many, many seasons later is where they did the whole Wrestlepalooza thing and Bud Bundy was dressed up at a wrestling show in like a bumblebee costume and he wrestled Bundy on that show. So he was actually on two different episodes. Epsilon Sama, well, actually, Dry Chicken says Undertaker against Von Wagner in Saudi Arabia. Don't put that evil on me. Epsilon Sama, FTR against the Briscoes was a 5-star match. Watch it when you can. Question, do you think the Briscoes have a future with AEW and ROH, regardless of past comments? Yes, I do. I do. And Shin Akuma. I started watching the product in October of 1999. My first real segment was Austin against Triple H leading up to No Mercy when Triple H went to the glass. Good times. When Triple H went to the glass. I'm not sure what that means, but there was a fun angle on TV where Vince McMahon came back after he lost. Remember, he lost his career after the Fully Loaded First Blood match. 6 weeks later, he was back on TV to confront Triple H. Austin had been arrested earlier in the show, and as they were teasing a confrontation between Triple H and Vince, the glass shatters, and here comes Austin. And it's one of the all-time great Jim Ross calls, because he's losing his voice, he's losing his mind, he's screaming, and it's Austin against Triple H for the WWF title. The bell rings, it's a championship match, and just JR is losing his mind. And they're brawling all over ringside. He throws Triple H on the announce desk. And Jim Ross is like, oh, Helmsley just bounced off our table like a rubber ball. And just one of those chaotic, you know, angles that we saw so many times with Austin back in the day. But that was, I think, leading into either the six-pack challenge at Unforgiven or it was leading into the No Mercy match. I think it was leading into the six-pack challenge. Actually, you know what? No, I think it might have been leading into SummerSlam. I think it was leading into SummerSlam with Austin, Triple H, and Mankind. That's what I think it was. Some of these angles just, they stay with me. They stick out in my mind. EJ, yeah, we did Be the Booker like an hour ago. Well, it feels like an hour ago at this point. Let's see. Matthew Scheffel. Do you think the Briscoes will sign with AEW, or is this the end for them? I think we will see the Briscoes, whether they're technically in Ring of Honor or technically in AEW. I do believe we will see the Briscoes working for Tony Khan in some capacity. I don't know if it'll be right now. I don't know. But yes, I do believe that they will be there. Shout out to Steve Mello. who, of course, is the mastermind. He is the master artiste behind the artwork you see here on this channel. He says, just a heads up, Scott Steiner talks about cows in his Hall of Fame induction speech. Oh, I can't wait. Did we have any Steiner math? Did we have any Steiner math in his Hall of Fame speech? Did he call somebody fat? I think it's appropriate that we had Scott Steiner going into the Hall of Fame the same night that Samoa Joe debuts in Tony Khan's Ring of Honor. Kenneth Taffy, though Edge and Styles is not a generation versus generation match like Hogan Rock and Rock Cena, does WrestleMania continue the tradition of having matches like this every WrestleMania by the eights? So I guess at eight, what would that be? Would Brett and Piper be considered a generational match? Probably not, right? So you're talking 18, okay, so this tradition started with 18, 28, and now 38. Edge and Styles, I don't know. Would that be considered generational? I mean, it's not like AJ was wrestling at that time. So I don't know about that. I don't know if I would say that's a generational match. Austin and Owens would be, even though it's technically not a match. That would be generational. So you might want to count that. Shaquille Oatmeal, $5 super chat. Say Punk wins the AEW World title from Hangman at Double or Nothing. How much major heat would MJF get if he beat Punk again in Chicago at All Out? I always have to pause for a good Fuck Bully Ray chant. That's the exact idea that I mapped out. So, yeah, I wouldn't have pitched it if I didn't think that would be a great idea. Punk wins the title. Although, I guess, wait, so your idea is a little bit different, though. Your idea is that, that's different. I take that back. See, I had pitched either Punk winning at Double or Nothing or waiting until All Out and having him win the title in Chicago. I don't know if I would do that, just because we already saw MJF beat Punk in Chicago once on TV. So to do it again, I don't think it has to be in Chicago. I would rather give the fans a big feel-good moment and have Punk win the title in Chicago. And then after that, it doesn't matter where MJF beats him. So because they've already done that, I wouldn't do that again. I wouldn't have him beat Punk a second time in Chicago. Ashway dropped that $30 Bully the Clown super chat that you heard there a moment ago. Hey, Solomonster, always catch the reviews even if they are not live. Thank you for all your work. It was nice kicking HBK's ass in 2K22. Do you remember which episode you explained the Montreal screwjob in detail? Oh, my God. I've talked about it so many times. I probably did it across multiple episodes. I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm about to do my 750th sound off on Sunday, so I've talked about this so many times, I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. TA in the chat says, Solomonster's Oregon Trail video game playthrough is underrated good. Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie. If you missed, it's one of the old Sound Off Gamers. It's on the channel. There's a whole Sound Off Gamer playlist, by the way. Just, it's in the playlist if you search for it. I went back and I played the Oregon Trail, which I had not played since I was in school. And I did the Podcaster's Delight. So it was Solomonster. I think I threw JD and Don Tony in there. And I think I put Sam Roberts in there. And we went along the trail. And each of us, pretty much died off one by one. So people seem to enjoy that one. If you want to go back and watch it, it's on the playlist. Ricky Edmond, $10 super chat. Top 5 Golden Era Mount Rushmore. Well, Hogan, Savage, Andre. Now, are we talking personal favorites, or are we just talking who I think are the biggest stars? Because then you'd have to go, Andre, Hogan, Savage, Warrior, and probably I would probably say DiBiase. Probably, if it's my personal one, I would probably do Hogan, Savage, Perfect, Demolition. Maybe. Akeem Mayfield. Akeem is from the Golden Era. Ricochet against Will Ospreay against Phoenix. Who you got? I get the one who doesn't injure himself. in that match, I'd probably go Will Ospreay. And British soundboard pranks. Will Belair and Lynch swap face and heel roles post-WrestleMania? I don't think that would be a bad idea to do something of a double turn with them. Not necessarily in the match, but coming out of WrestleMania. It might present them with better options. You know, and then you can have like a heel Bianca against Rhea, babyface Rhea at some point. Becky goes back to being a babyface, which is probably what she should have been all along. I'm not against that idea. I'm not against that idea. All right, I didn't realize how late it was, so holy shit. I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank all of you for staying up late with me here on a Friday night into Saturday morning. Again, I fucked up. I should have watched the Ring of Honor Supercard show. You guys have had nothing but amazing things to say about it. I do plan on checking out at least some of the matches, if I can, tomorrow morning in the WWE Hall of Fame. Undertaker speech. Excuse me. Undertaker speech getting some praise as well, so I will have to check that out, too. Let me very quickly here throw this up again here before I leave you. There is a brand new Sound Off Gamer. There he is. There's Solid Monster himself. It's my see, in the middle is my video game character. On the left is me in real life. In case, I had to clarify that, just in case you couldn't figure out which was which. So go check that out. That's up on the channel right now. But here's the remaining schedule. Tomorrow afternoon, NXT Stand and Deliver. I will be live at the end of that show with a quick review. WrestleMania 38 Night 1 tomorrow night. Sunday, episode 750 of the podcast. That, of course, is not on YouTube. And WrestleMania 38 Night 2. As soon as that show is over on Sunday night. So, a lot of good stuff left to come. We're just getting started here. I'm very tired. I will sleep when I'm dead. Have a good night, guys. Be well. Stay safe. And whatever you might be watching, enjoy your WrestleMania weekend. I will see you in just a few hours. In fact, I will see you at about 13 or 14 hours for the NXT review. Stand and deliver. Until then, take care, guys.